Happy Sabbath, brethren. There's no better place in all of the world to be than at one of God's feast sites where he has placed his name. I'd like to thank God for the messages he has sent us this year. And I just want to thank the men that spoke this morning. They did such a wonderful job, and thank God for them and them giving themselves to God to let him use them. Wonderful messages. God indeed has given us great and precious promises. Unlike anyone else in the world, there is no gifts like this in the universe. God is creating his family, and he has given us the opportunity to be the firstborn in his family. Does that make us great? Of course not. It should be very humbling. Does the firstborn get to choose who's firstborn? No, but God made it so. And what a precious blessing that is. I'd like to see a show of hands here of all of those who followed the news and saw the story about the young Thai boys that were lost in a cave. Many here have seen that. Do you know that it was day 9 before they were found? Day 9, they were in darkness, just a little bit of light. And to think about everything they went through is pretty amazing. They were not even discovered till day 9. And a picture during this time caught my eye of a young girl, a beautiful little girl, and she was with her classmates, and she had a white sign she was holding up, and they had their heads bowed and their eyes closed, and in black writing on that sign, it says, "God save, oh God, save the budding football stars." And I thought about how moving, praying to God to save these young football stars. I imagine many of us probably prayed for them, and God heard those prayers, and he delivered them. And he saved them. But the thought came to me that who was she praying to? Who was she praying to? You know, the predominant religion in Thailand is Buddhism. There's also a strong undercurrent of Hinduism. There is a small, quote unquote, Christian presence there as well. So who was she praying to? Let's all go together as the family of God, the children of God, and let's examine the scripture. It was mentioned earlier, this feast, in Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. This is a scripture that some may say embodies the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's an awesome scripture. Isaiah 11. And let's look at verse 9. It says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth," and this is what we're going to focus on, is "for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And what a better place to learn this lesson than right here in Sabaudia, where we have the beautiful ocean right next to us, and we can see all of this massive water and ocean. And if you've ever been on a cruise, you know how large the ocean is. And this is a graphic example. It says, "The knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea." How amazing and wonderful is that? But brethren, the world doesn't have that yet. We have that opportunity now. I was saving a scripture for the end, but I'd like for you to focus on it right now, actually. It's one of my favorite scriptures. What is it that we are going to know about God? He's going to continually teach us. But some things that he tells us he wants us to know is found in Jeremiah 9. If you'll turn over to Jeremiah, chapter 9. I don't like to tell you the verse in case you get there before I do. All right. Verse 24, it says, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which executes, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord." He delights in these things. God is merciful. He is kind, and he is righteous. I often share with my wife, when we're going through a trial, that we always remember these things. Never forget. God is love, and God is good, and God is righteous, and he is suffering with us. And he will bring us through whatever we're going through. Even if we have to give up our life for God, may it be a pleasing sacrifice to him. You know, it says, precious in the sight of God are the death of his saints. And who knows what we will have to go through in the future here. But there's nothing, you know, the wicked and slothful servant, he did not seek God that way. He saw God as being unjust, as requiring something that he did not sow, and that's just a lie. So it's so important, as we heard in a message earlier, I often see God as a father, as my daddy. And thankfully, I had a good relationship with my dad. But God can overcome and change anything, even if you didn't have that. When you read God's word, you know, that speaks to you. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts through and it changes our minds and our hearts, especially when we understand the truth. And that is only through the gift of the Holy Spirit, made possible through the precious sacrifice of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Again, God was suffering right along with him. A companion scripture to the beginning of what I just read is found in Hebrews 8, verse 11. It says, "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest." That's what's coming in the future. And they're going to know the love of God and of Christ, and they're going to understand them in their righteousness and their justice. To understand this precious treasure that we've been given, let's examine a few scriptures, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in the last part of the verse 11, it said, "The things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." So right there, it explains to us that there are two spirits, that not everyone has this understanding. And it says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And in a prior verse, verse 10, it states, "But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." God has revealed to us, to you and to me, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the mysteries of what God is doing. Very few people understand that what God is doing, why man exists, that we are God's children, that we are going to be God. We're going to be in the family of God. He has revealed to us his awesome plan of salvation, revealed through the holy days that we are here observing. Again, it's not to put us up on a pedestal. We're just so thankful and grateful. And through these holy days, we understand that there's a first harvest, a smaller harvest. As we heard it mentioned in a message here, we are a small flock. And yet there's a larger harvest coming in the future. Another scripture that shows what a precious gift we have is in Luke 10, verse 22. It says, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." I think of the apostle Thomas, you know, he said to Jesus Christ, "Show us the Father." And Jesus Christ said, "Have I been with you so long?" Or was it Philip? I'm sorry, I may have those two confused. But he said, "Have I been so long with you and you don't know the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus Christ and the Father are one. And that is something that Jesus Christ prayed for all of us, that we are to be one, speaking the same thing, to be one with each other under Jesus Christ, the head of the church. In Luke 10, in verse 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And again, in verse 5, it says, "And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger." Brethren, if I can encourage you to do anything, I hope that we all will use this feast as a point of rededication. We know that the Passover season, the spring season, is a very strong time for that. But this, you know, we go for a while now without any holy days. But we have every Sabbath. And I've heard so many messages lately, you know, through the United Church of God website. I've listened to many messages, and it seems like they're all being directed to stir the people of God up. Who knows what is ahead of us in the days ahead? But whether, you know, we're going to see the return of Christ or not, one thing is for sure, God is going to know what is in our hearts and minds. He's going to know us, and he's going to test us, and we have to be close to him. We have to be exercising the gift of the Holy Spirit, growing in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and we need to have a zeal for God. There is a deception coming upon the whole earth, and it said that even the very elect would be deceived if it weren't for God. It's hard to comprehend that. But I surely look forward to the time. I think, what an exciting time to see the two witnesses. Wow, how awesome. But right now, you know, God's Spirit leads and guides us. And when we hear his minister speak, we know it is God speaking through them. And if they say something in error, that God's Spirit will lead us to know and understand that. Just as many of us that came out of the prior organization, we knew something wasn't right, and that was God leading and guiding us. I love the scripture that says, "God will not do anything until he reveals it to his servants, the prophets, first. And through them, he'll let us know." We understand things. It says, "Great prophets have desired to know the things that you know and did not know them." I can't, as we heard the very first day, it is overwhelming when you stop and think about what we've been given, the precious gifts that God has given us, the knowledge and understanding. That is actually the greatest miracle probably that can take place in the whole universe, is the changing of the human heart and mind from an enemy of God to a child of God. Yet we have responsibility where we have to be exercising that spirit. If we don't exercise it and grow, it will die. It has to be replenished. Just like Jesus Christ, when he was a man on earth, had to stay close to God. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The veil is still over most of the world. Most of the world is still blinded by Satan the devil. We know and understand that. God has given us an opportunity that few in the history of mankind have had, a relationship with him, to know him. Again, he is love and he is light, and he alone is good. There is no other God. To know and understand God is such a wonderful gift. This is what the world will one day know and understand, and that God is love, and he is kind, and he's gentle, and he desires all mankind to be saved. And that's what he is working on. And one day, the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God hasten that day.